Scripture reading for this evening will be from the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, beginning at verse 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you."
Good evening. It's good to be with you all tonight. And I was excited by Brother Rick's presentation. All of us should be excited about the gospel being spread and the borders of the kingdom being enlarged, and great work being done in our Lord's name. And tonight we're going to reason together a little bit about what Paul reasoned with Felix and Drusilla about. You know, God said through Isaiah, calling to his nation, he said, "Come and let us reason together." And there's some reasoning that we have to do with people that we come in contact in the world with, because there's something that is available through Jesus Christ that any reasonable person, if they recognize where they were headed, if they recognize what's made available to them through Jesus Christ and the gospel, any reasonable person would take the offer given to them through Jesus Christ. And so here is an example where Paul has been arrested and he's on his way to Rome, and he's been detained here for a little bit, and he's at this hearing with Felix, and then Felix kind of postpones it a little bit, and he sets aside a time for he and his wife Drusilla to hear about the faith of Christ. Now, just as Brother Rick mentioned, there are some people that you would seem to think would be unlikely candidates to obey the gospel. But these people wanted to hear about the faith of Christ, and so Paul was not going to miss an opportunity to talk to somebody and to reason with them about obeying the gospel of Christ. And so he and his wife, who was a Jewess, Drusilla, come to hear him about the faith of Christ. And the Bible says that he reasoned with them about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Paul reasoned with Felix, first of all, about righteousness that he did not possess. Felix was a very cruel, tyrannical leader. He was somebody who had murdered a high priest to get into power, and he was somebody that was misusing his power for his own means, like sometimes happens and often happened with the pagan rulers back in the Roman times. And here was somebody that you read in verse 26 kept Paul in prison because he was hoping to receive a bribe from the Christians or from Paul for Paul to get released. He wanted to extort some money from the situation. And so Paul reasons with this man, Felix, about righteousness that he did not possess. But you know, none of us can possess righteousness if it weren't for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't, on our own merits, achieve righteousness. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So in the gospel, we have this righteousness of God revealed by faith. Now, the righteousness of God here is not a characteristic of God. The Old Testament showed that God is a righteous being. In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is God's way of making man righteous through the death of Christ, through the gospel of Christ. So in the gospel is revealed a way for man to become righteous through faith in order to induce or produce faith in those that hear about the gospel. And so the righteousness that we can obtain through Jesus Christ is something that comes from our faith, not from our own merits. And we know this because in chapter 3 and verse 23 of Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Paul says. We also know in Romans 3 verse 10 that he says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And you know, there were people that tried to cling to that Old Testament law, Pharisees and other religious leaders of the Jews rejected Christ, and they tried to cling to a works righteousness of the law. And Paul, in Romans 10, says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." So they were lost at the time. He wanted them to be saved. And why were they lost? Well, verse 3 of Romans 10, he says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And so Paul points out to Felix that righteousness has to come through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul himself could not be righteous even by good deeds, because he had persecuted the church. He had done many things against Jesus Christ. But his goal was Philippians 3, verse 9, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. And so when I, by faith, respond to the gospel invitation, and I repent of my sins, and I confess Christ before men, and I'm baptized into that water, putting to death that old man, and raising to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, then I obtain a righteousness that's not through my own merits, but through God's gift of His Son. And so that's the righteousness that Felix did not possess. Second of all, he reasoned with him not only of righteousness that he did not possess, but temperance that he did not practice. He is there with his wife, Drusilla, and that's a testimony to his lack of temperance. Drusilla was Felix's third wife, history tells us. And she was known for her beauty, but he influenced her to leave her husband, King Aziza, and to come to him. And so they were living in an adulterous situation. And so his unbridled lust is shown even by the woman that is sitting by his side when he hears these words. And so Paul reasons with him not only of righteousness which he did not possess, but also temperance that he obviously was not practicing in his life. As Christians, one of the things that we have to develop is temperance. It's self-control, Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit. And Paul did this because it would be a shame for him to have spread the gospel to so many others, but through lack of self-control, fail to be saved. And so he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, "Know ye not that all those who run in a race run all?" You see, everybody that goes into a foot race, everybody runs, but then he says, "But one receives the prize." He's going to go on in a little bit in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 to talk about how many of the Israelites left Egypt, and they were baptized unto Moses. All of them were, but not all of them that were baptized unto Moses went into the rest of Canaan. Only very few did. In fact, we know those that were over 20 years of age, only Joshua and Caleb were able to enter into the Canaan rest. And so all might run, but only a few received the prize. And so he says, "He that strives for the mastery," 1 Corinthians 9:25, "is temperate in all things." That is, he shows his self-control. Now, those people at Corinth, those brethren at Corinth, they were familiar with the Isthmian Games that was near where they were, that was a predecessor to our Olympic Games. And they understood the fact that an athlete had to control himself and keep his body under subjection and exercise some self-control if he was going to win that crown. And so Paul says they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And so part of the Christian life is that we exercise self-control in a world that is all out of control. And so Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness that he did not possess, about temperance that he was not practicing, and then finally this, about judgment to come that he could not prevent. See, none of us can escape the judgment of God. We might fool people here in this life and make them think of one thing for us, or we might be able to get away with crimes in this life, but God sees all things. Hebrews 4:13 says, "All things are open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so Paul reasoned with Felix about a judgment that was coming to him. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things done in the body, whatever we've done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." And so all of us must give an account of ourselves before God, Romans chapter 14, verse 12. And there's one day in which the whole world will be judged by Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said in Acts 17, 30 and 31, that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ. And so in talking about Jesus' death on the cross, Hebrews 9, verses 26 and 27 talks about how he only died once. Why? Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So none of us will escape judgment. And when Felix heard about that, when he was reasoned with about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, the Bible says that Felix trembled. He had a visible reaction to the reasoning that Paul made to him. But he decided to push it off into a convenient season. He says, "Go your way. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you." And we find that he only had two more years in his present post, and then he was replaced by Festus, and we don't find any other time that Felix or Drusilla ever obeyed the gospel, ever found that convenient time. Now, you've heard Brother Rick tonight talk about the wonderful time when he obeyed the gospel. I can remember the time when I was obedient to the gospel and how I felt when I knew, not just based on my emotions or my feelings, but I knew that I had obeyed what God had said, that I had the righteousness of Christ, that is, the righteousness of the gospel of Christ, given to me because I obeyed it. And that feeling that I stood right with God, like he was talking about, that if I died right now, I would go to heaven. That's a wonderful peace that you can have. But you don't need to put it off. Because if you put it off for some more convenient time, that more convenient time might not come. And so tonight, we ask you to consider these things: righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Make sure that you have a righteousness that is through Jesus Christ, and that you're practicing temperance, and that you're ready for that judgment to come that none of us can avoid. And so the way to be ready for that is to believe the gospel, Mark 16, 16, repent of your sins, Acts 2, 38, confess your faith in Christ before men, Romans 10, 10, Acts 8, 37, and to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 22, verse 16. If you do those things, God will add you to his church, Acts 2, verse 47, and you'll be ready for his judgment. You'll be on your way to glory. And maybe you've done those first things and you've fallen away and you need the prayers of the church. James 5, 16 says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Maybe it's a sin more of a private nature that is only between you and God. 1 John 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray that you'll come and respond while together we stand and while we sing.
Of your Savior and Lord, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you happy rest, sweet happy rest, Jesus. us will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come? Will you come? How he pleads with you now. Fly to his loving breast. And whatever your sin or your sorrow may be, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest.